Blog Talk Radio.
Isn't that something? Got to click that button. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us. Let's add the folks over here on YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight. And it's good to have you with us every night. Yeah. And, you know, we've had quite an amazing week worth of programs here. And it's been good to be at home, sitting in the desk here, getting some things done. I got a major accomplishment today that I've been wanting to get done for quite a while. And so what it is Brother Hagin wrote a little mini book called In Him. And I've been wanting to, in my own manner of it, record that so that I could have it available so you could listen to it and so that I could listen to it. And what's amazing about it is it's in him, in whom, by him, by whom. And it's all verses about Jesus in the New Testament. It's just, I forget what it turned out to be, an hour and 15 minutes or something of the Bible. What's interesting about that recording is that it messes up all your normal list of verses you like to read together, all right? And it, which is interesting because it causes you to say, oh, yeah, that verse is in there too. And so I just encourage you, get it out, listen to it. It's a YouTube video, so it's available for everybody to listen to. And, I think you're going to get a great enjoyment out of it. I got some timestamps in there so that you have the ability to look at it. And when you find a group you like the best while you're listening to it, you can go in that timestamp and re-listen to that specific area several times. And that's why I love YouTube and I love the timestamp ability, because it just gives us that ability to listen and re-listen and listen and re-listen and listen and re-listen. And thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' mighty name. So that's on YouTube. It's called Read the Word. It's called RTW. So you can find that, and it's just in him. And it's a very, very, very great bunch of verses. I love it because they're just not your normal set of what we'd normally listen to. And it just makes you say, wow, yeah, I haven't thought about that one lately. And then, you know, when you read a chapter, your focus is what the chapter is. And yet this is a very great way to study this. And so we encourage you to do that in Jesus' mighty name. Now let's see, how is everything going here? Did we get, it was private a minute ago. Is it unprivate now?
It is unprivate.
Did Brother Roger get in?
Oh, I don't see Roger actually. I see Audrey. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
We're glad you're here.
It's good to have you with us. Look at that. Audrey said, hire everyone. Oh, she took it down. I thought maybe everybody's going to get a job. All right. Tonight, we're going to continue our teaching about the righteousness consciousness. And we're going to add to tonight, be found in him. And I've been enjoying this little mini series, what to do when you find out that you're just a spiritual mess. And it's a very simple process when you, and for some people, I think it's kind of important for them to finally admit, wait, you know what? I gotta come to a greater understanding of the things of God than what I understand. I have got to get some stuff straightened out in my mind, in my soul, and in my spirit. And so when you come to that, then what you got to do is say, wait, I'm going to get this group of verses, and I'm going to read it and speak it and declare it and proclaim it and read it, speak it and declare it and proclaim it until you make your mind think that group of verses all in a straight line. And your spirit man's already saying, I received the revelation. And then all of a sudden your mind and your spirit connect and you're like, I got it. I got it. I got it. Hallelujah. I got it. I got it. Thank you, Jesus. I got it. And then guess what will happen? You'll have it. And it'll be down inside of you. And it'll be a well of water springing up out of your innermost being. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. Brother Roger, did you get in? Don't see him yet. All right. Well, now, let's say something about the events of the world scene. We are in a time in history we have never been in before. We are in a time of history right now. And Brother Amir this morning wrote this on his Telegram page. The events of the last 7 days in the Middle East and the world prove what no one wants to admit in words. You guys will pause and think about it. Dr. Barclay prophesied this and told us this 2 years ago at Leadership or a Holy Spirit conference. He said the money's already spooled. It's already in the bank to do this in all these nations. We are already in a world war. Already. Now watch. Iran attacked Syria, Iraq, and Pakistan. Yemen attacks the U.S. and U.K. vessels. Iraq militias attacked Israel. Israel is attacking in Lebanon, Gaza, and the West Bank because they're all striking them. Russia attacked Ukraine, and they're still fighting. China is threatening Taiwan, and Turkey has attacked the Kurds. North Korea is lined up against South Korea.
Well, but still...
Now, here's what you can say about all that. Oh, goodness sakes alive. Because when you look at that, it's like the whole world is in a war. But nobody has said, hey, guess what? We're in a war. Well, I guess a few of them have said it. But, you know, here's the reality. No matter what, you and I know, Jesus told us a long time ago, there would be wars and rumors of wars and more rumors of wars, and nation would fight against nation and kingdom against kingdom and people against people. And we see in Ezekiel and Psalms and Isaiah, a whole world is going to be trying to get attacked. Israel, last night we showed you the map showing you everything that was there. And you just look at it and say, the devil has pulled out all of his stops and he's now begun to attack himself.
Yeah.
Right here, United States of America, the confused, the wicked, the perverse are now beginning to attack each other. And all that means is we are in the time of the end, and Paul and Jesus said, stay ready. Stay ready. Stay ready. Why? Whether or not you believe in the post, mid, or pre-tribulation, it doesn't make a difference. Just be found in Christ And when he comes back, if nothing else, be like brother Mike Warnke. Remember Mike Warnke? Mike Warnke said, I'm the best tribulationist there is. I'm a pan-tribulationist. But, you know, pan-tribulationist. You know what that means?
No.
It'll all pan out in the end. And his statement was, be ready. Just be ready. Now, today, I saw some people come out, put out a video today.
Good afternoon to you.
Hold on. No, that's not it. Hold on. Oh, come on. Just got to get the right thing happening here. Give me just a second. Click a few more buttons. There we go. I saw somebody claiming to be a Christian put out a couple videos today about Mike Bickle. No face with their video. Not willing to put their name on the line. And one of them was a computer-generated screen. Now, think about that. Anybody can do that and say anything they want to say. And Jesus said in the time of the end, brother would hate brother. Children would hate parents. Some of them would kill each other. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Say this with me. I get all hate out of my heart. I'm going to walk before God and be perfect in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to walk before God and be perfect in Jesus' mighty name. You know, I honestly, I look at what's in front of us and say, it's going to be this week, you know. But we know Damascus has got to be destroyed and no longer be a city. So we know that's going to happen. And we're not glad, but for all of you that live in Damascus and our believers, you might want to start looking like you ought to get out. And if angels start showing up saying, come with me now, then those of us on the outside are praying and believing God that he'll have mercy on Damascus for this many righteous. Now, we know it's going to be destroyed, so that's an interesting thought process, isn't it? This we know. We are led by the Spirit of Almighty God in Jesus' mighty name. Now, what else do we have to say? Oh, we're fasting right now. Remember this week? Our fast is eating soups and salads. I had an amazing amazing Samuel and Leanne soup today. She made the base and I made it real. A secret ingredient to put in anything that you want spiced and sweet is add a little Sweet Baby Ray's spicy in it, and it just adds a great flavor to it. And at least I thought it did. She didn't complain, so, you know. I think I could take it out and market it. It was so good, but anyways. That's our fast. And today, I was studying a bunch of things with Brother Gene and Flashpoint, Brother Copeland, and I started that Brother Copeland's ministry is going to be fasting for Israel, fasting for their ministry, and then fasting for their own personal life. And that's going to be starting in February. So we're just going to join right in with theirs and fast with them. And I encourage you, some of you might want to be doing a 40-day fast. And you may have never done one. Now, you know, it's extreme when you do that 40-day fast with the Jesus fast. I think that's what they call it, the John the Baptist fast or Jesus fast, which is 40 days in the wilderness, you know. But most people can't take 40 days off and go be in the wilderness. Although somebody sent me somehow today on my timeline or somewhere an email. Somebody sent me a link to a bunch of ranches that were for sale. And I found the most perfect spot in the wilderness to go fast 40 days. It had, I think it had 28 acres, maybe it was 18 acres, on the top of this bluff at 8,000 feet elevation. It was absolutely beautiful. And you're just out there all by your lonesome on top of this hill, and it'd be a great place to fast in the wilderness because there's no Chuck E. Cheese or Little Caesars or Dollar General or anything else close. You're just there. It would be truly like being in the wilderness, except really nice house to stay in. It was really nice stuff. Anyways, you know, so while I was there, I was looking around, and I literally saw there was a ranch in Montana for sale. I forget, it had like 40,000 acres, and that ranch sold for $150 million. Now, Pastor, what in the world does that have to do with us? What it has to do is that every one of us can look at that and say, that means there's somebody on this earth got $150 million to spend on a ranch. And you and I can look and see, God, like God said to Brother Keith, Keith, I can get you $1 billion by tomorrow afternoon and never make one phone call. God has an abundant supply of everything we need. We just got to chase him, walk with him, and walk after him in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, well, I got to go to work tonight, so I better get going because I'm going to be needing to be done about 9. Sister Leanne will be doing communion with us tonight, and I'll be back out on the road. Hauling sand up and down the road, preaching the gospel, speaking Jesus, winning all the lost, doing the work that God's given us to do, picking up the harvest in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. Here we go. So tonight, it's like there's an army marching somewhere. So tonight, welcome all y'all that's streaming with us, 6 of you out there tonight. We welcome you. Good to have you with us tonight. Make sure you click like, subscribe, hit the bell, sign in, let us know who you are. Tonight's title is Righteousness Consciousness. Be found in Him. Righteousness Consciousness. Be found in Him. This is going to be a good one. This is some of my most favorite verses in all of the Bible. Right here in this. Here we go. Now, let's do a little bit of recap here. We started out this week by saying, what do you do when you find out you are a spiritual mess? What was it? When you realize you're just a religious mess. Well, first thing you got to do is just come to the understanding that might just say, wait a minute, I got to change some things about my life. I got to quit being religious, and I got to start seeing the manifestation of God's love and mercy in my life. So here, let's go to our first set of verses tonight. If you will, give me a first lift tonight. Thank you very much. I still have your pen, but I didn't take it with me. Mark 16.
Did you find the one from last night?
No. I have not found it. It was not in the washing machine. It was not in the dryer.
The verse
list. What's that?
The verse list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Okay. Yes, I found the verse list, not the pen. Here we go. Let's hold our Bible up, and we'll make our confession together tonight like we do every time we come here. I didn't fix it. Here we go. Is that with me? This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says, I go do what he tells me to do. I am what Jesus says I am because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God,
my
resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing 100-fold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Jesus. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. No, 14, sorry. Mark 16:14 through 20. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he walked through the wall and said, now boys, I got to talk to you about something. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned already. Brother John Wainer, welcome. Sister Rebecca, welcome. Good to have you guys with us tonight. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Don't stop reading. And there's some translations that say 19 and 20 don't exist. So then, through the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Say it with me. Signs follow the word.
Signs follow the word.
Amen. Signs follow the word. So every single one of us in our life should be able to be seeing the word of God beginning to manifest in our life. That's our goal. That we, our place isn't there. I got born again. Aren't you proud of me? Well, it's a good thing. I'm sure glad you're going to heaven with us. But that was the first step, getting born again. And there's actually some people that the Bible says their names will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't want to be one of those people. Pastor, I don't want to be that person. How do I keep from that? You stay hot for God and walk with him every day, and you'll never have to worry about that a day of your life. You just walk with it. Every day, I walk with you. Help me go to the next level. Always be striving. Always be growing. Always be reaching. Always be reading. Always be praying in the Holy Spirit. Always praying for somebody that needs prayer anywhere. When they say, pray for me, grab their hands and pray for them. If they're on a text or an email and they say, would you pray for me? Don't write prayers in. Pray. Yeah, but pastor, what if they don't like my prayer? What are they going to do? Come over to your house and whoop you? Pray the word of God. Because when you speak his word, when they say, pray for me, you might be the only one to speak a word of faith into those people's lives. And now, by speaking it, the word of God can begin to manifest because one of his servants he who believes, just like this verse said, whosoever believes in my name. That doesn't say whatever pastor believes. That says whosoever believes. And that means you, and that means me. And when you and I begin to believe like this and begin to work, then we begin to see the miracles that happen all through the Word of God, all through the book of Acts in our day, like happened for Peter, James, and John, the Apostle Paul, Saul, Silas, Barnabas, Luke, and all the different people that we begin to hear down through the New Testament in the book of Acts. Signs follow those who believe. And when you go out and start moving in God, God then confirms the word that you speak over somebody else's life. But if you don't know what words to speak, then what do? You lay hands on them and say prayers. And they look at you like, prayers? I needed you to pray. So what do we do here? We learn to pray the prayer of agreement. We learn to stand in unity. We learn to bind and loose. We learn to speak to the mountain. We learn to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We learn to pray, Jesus has come that he might bring life and life more abundantly. See, these are all simple things that we have taught here since we've been teaching this ever since we started here. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. This is the very core of our doctrine. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so what this week has been is, what do you do when you realize, you know what? I don't have any of this manifested in my life. And then as we studied, we came to a very simple list of four things to do. Number one, be zealous and repent. Be full of zeal. God loves you full of zeal. I'd just soon work with a zealous person as a deadhead any day, right? You get a nominal, lukewarm Christian, you can't do anything with it. Number two, be a doer of the word of God. Don't just be a hearer. Hear us preach. Hear that guy preach. That guy preach. That guy preach. Other guy preach. Man, they ain't even preaching the same doctrine. It don't matter. I just listen to some more preachers. No, become a doer of the word. Be a doer. And reach out and begin helping and touching other people's lives. Number three, follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Follow them. And they're functioning in that kingdom. And then here's how it all happens. Mix the word with faith. You hear it? Then pull it off that page and begin to use it like a weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's got to come off your lips or you're just swinging your hands. You got to speak the words out loud or you're just swinging your hands. As soon as you speak it out loud, you're holding a sword that is more powerful than anything these two hands could ever get a grip of. Do I have my sword here? No, it's in storage unit. I don't have my sword here, but I do have my prophet stick. Sure, they appreciate that loud thud downstairs, but nobody's there. See, thank God. What was my point of pulling off the stick? Do you remember? Oh, the sword. It's not a sword. It's a prophet's stick. It's a shepherd's staff. The sword of the Spirit. No matter how tight I hold on that, the sword of the Spirit. Think about this. Sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and it cuts like a two-edged sword. All right, we're going to read those verses. I wasn't going there yet, but we might as well just go there. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Today, we're going to say righteousness, consciousness, be found in him. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And for the sake of time, let's see. Yeah, let's do it. 6:10, and we're going to go down through 19. Ready? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. 6:10 to 19. All right. Finally, my Lord, be brethren. Goodness sakes alive. I'm wound up tonight. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in it. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Are you ready? Which Jesus has already defeated. So you got to see it. So we'll say it to you. Write this right in your Bible, right there after verse number 12, off the side of verse 12. It says it in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 down through 23. Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the work in his mighty power when he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand. I love this. Far above all principality. Far above all power. Far above all might and dominion. Far above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Jesus, far above it all. Not a little devil, do you? All power, all authority, all might, all dominion, all strength, all honor, all glory belongs to Jesus. And when Jesus has all of that, what's the enemy have left? Zero, zilch, nada, goose egg. No, he doesn't even have a goose egg. Jesus defeated them. Another good set of verses about Jesus defeating them is Colossians chapter 2. And let's go down here to verse number 13. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Say it with me. I am forgiven. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There's nothing against you anywhere. It's all been wiped away, thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness. Look at 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. One more set of verses on Jesus is giving us power over all of it. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I've given you power over all the power, the enemy. Therefore, Take up the whole armor of God. Watch what it is. Maybe I'll stand even day, and having done, I'll stand. Stand, having girded your waist with truth, the word of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, that which protects the core of your very being is righteousness. Say it. Thank God for the righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Here comes the word of God again. Taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember, faith works by love. Take the helmet of salvation with and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You and I got to get this word off of our lips as a weapon against an enemy all day long. I want you and I to become very, 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 very focused in the next ensuing days to pray specifically for our families to be delivered, set free, and transformed. I don't want anybody I know to miss the rapture. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Say it with me. Nobody I know is going to miss it. Everybody I know or that knows me is going to make it in Jesus' mighty name. Hebrews. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. We've been here all week long, but we're going to just stay here. Verse 11 and 12 and 11 through 16. Here we go. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into the rest. Be zealous and repent. Be diligent to enter into the rest. We're going to get it in just a minute. Paul said, this one thing I do. Press, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience like those. 12. For the word of God is living. It's alive. The word of God is powerful. When you speak the word off your lips, power is released. Not when you become a pastor. Not when you become a great apostle. No. When you believe, then that word, when it comes off your lips, it's spoken with great power and authority into the realm of the Spirit, and God Almighty fills those words with his power, now piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Open your mouth and speak the word out loud. That's where the power is. There's a lot of people that say, man, Pastor, I would love to see people be able to be healed. Well, open up your mouth and say, be made whole. Oh, what in the world would I ever do if it didn't come to pass? What are you going to do if it did come to pass? It's not you doing the work. You can't do the work anyways. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. It is not you doing the work. It's God Almighty in you looking for you to open your mouth and give him the ability to move through what you say and what you do. Think about this. If believers are not out there laying hands on the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead, who's going to do it? Nobody else can. The medical society wants to give your family members drugs who have got, you know, autism or something. They want to drug them. That ain't going to do anything for them. Cast the devil out or off, whichever it is. It's interesting when I preach these words. I can see some of you that are streaming with me tonight. I can see you. Some of you are streaming tonight, and some of you will be in the future, and some of you will be streaming this, and it'll be after the rapture. You missed it. Miss the rapture. Don't play around with your Christian life and miss the rapture. Be hot. What did Jesus say to the Laodicean church? I wish that you were hot or cold. Be hot.
Amen.
Woo! You know, some people make fun of being slain in the spirit or holy laughter. People make fun of that. And that's sad, because that is a blessing of the Holy Spirit. And you're making fun of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's real close to blasphemy. Do that. But, all right, you've never been where you experienced it. I've been where I experienced both of them. Matter of fact, since I got me some show-me's tonight, some Miserables, I'm telling my story. You had unprovoked me. I love this story. Don't you love it when God gives you good stories? I love it. I told you at the beginning of this that I was a spiritual mess. Now wait, I love God with all of my heart. I just didn't know how to find him. I would open up this book and see Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. I would see that he said it to the disciples, cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the lame. Freely you've received, freely. He said that to the disciples that weren't even born again. But I would go around the people I was with and say, none of these people are doing any of this. Well, that created a situation for me. And so I began to seek God, and I went to several different churches, and I finally got to a great church, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wasn't long after that, I was praying in my heavenly language, got slain in the spirit the first time. I wasn't seeking being slain in the spirit. I loved this church because they had three fast songs, two slow songs, a word in tongues, the offering. During the offering, the elders of the church would come forward and anoint with oil according to James chapter 5. When they anointed with oil, if you needed healing, health, or strength, you went forward after the offering, you know, during the offering time, stood in the front, and there was like 20 of them across the front of that church. So there was like 600 people in that building. Anybody that needed prayer was prayed for in the matter of 5 minutes. It was amazing to see. It was amazing to see. Same thing, John Osteen did it in his church. John Osteen had 10,000 people in his church. Mm-hmm. And when the offering happened, all the elders got up and lined that big stage, that platform that he had. And if you needed prayer, you could go clear from the top of that balcony down there. And in about 7 minutes, everybody in the building was prayed for. It was amazing to see. And signs, wonders, and miracles happened. I went up front. The man said, what do you need? I'm like, man, I'm just a mess. I need God. He said, raise your hands. And I was on the floor. He never touched me. He never prayed a prayer. He said, raise your hands. I did. I was on the floor. In the most beautiful peace you've ever felt in all your life. You're going to criticize and condemn being slain in the spirit and expect that Father's going to get you into heaven? Man, don't do that. You're when you start mocking the Holy Spirit, you're close to blasphemy. Being slain in the Spirit transformed my life. I was at Dr. Barclay's one time in a Holy Spirit conference. I sat way back. Wait, if he was looking at the platform, I sat way back in this corner. And man, God was all over me. And I'm like, wow, what a service. And it was just power. Spirit of God was so strong in there. Dr. Barclay kept saying, the glory cloud's here. The glory cloud's here. You can see it. It's the glory cloud. And I'm looking, saying, I don't see nothing, man. What's wrong with my eyes? You know, like, what's wrong with my eyes? I can't see it. Well, it's not the eyes of your skull. It's his eyes. Pastor starts teaching about the woman with the issue of blood. And he made a statement. He said, some of you are waiting for me, because this is a Holy Spirit conference, to call you out so you can get an answer from God. I am not your answer. This altar is. Come the altar while I'm preaching. Well, I mean, that's a little different to have a pastor say, come and pray around the altar while I'm preaching. That's different. I'm new here, all right? I'm new to living word. As soon as he said that, I knew he was talking to me. And I'm like, I don't know these people. I'm probably not dressed right. I'm sitting in the back corner. I got to get up and walk all the way up there. But see, I'm arguing in here with God. Like, I don't want to have to go up in front of all them people. Well, my goodness sakes alive, what you realize, them people ain't worried about you. They're all trying to get some themselves. And so I'm just sitting there, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And the pastor says, some of you have got to learn to obey God immediately. Like, whoa. Because he may not ask you or incline you the second time to do it. He might just let you sit there in your disobedience. But I said, I'm going. And I'm not joking, guys. As soon as you stood up and I was on my feet, you could see the glory cloud. It was about 2 foot above everybody's head. I stood up and I'm in the glory cloud. You could see the glory of God hanging over everybody's head. And what did Pastor say? The glory's in the house. If you need something, stand up. Why? He can see the cloud. He could see it. I stood up into it, and now I'm like, wow. He said, come to the altar. I don't know if I'm ever even going to make it up there, that altar, you know? But it doesn't matter. In the Holy Spirit conference, there was people laid out on the floor everywhere. Why? Because God was moving. And God doesn't care about position in a building. If he's moving and you want him, he's going to help you get him. We went in there one time, and everybody in the whole building was laid out on the floor. It's awesome. It's awesome to see. May it happen right here. Every time we come here, all y'all just be laid out in the spirit right at your house. Amen. Not you, Richard. You drive, and Dan, you guys drive. Don't be laid out in the spirit while you're driving. Anyways, I began to walk up to the front. The closer I got to the front, the more that anointing was magnified. Why? Closer to the front you get, the more passionate the believers are about God. So you don't have a doubter sitting on the front row. You have all believers sitting on the front row. So the closer you get, the more that anointing increased. Coming on me right now, I love it. When I don't even know what to tell you. When I got past the last chairs into the altar area, I don't know what happened. I just know about 45 minutes later, I actually came to myself, and I was kind of laying on the platform. Their platform's about a foot tall, you know, off the floor, just to step up. And I was just laying on the platform when I kind of came to him, like, wow, pastor's still preaching. People just laid out and kneeling all around the altar. What happened? I don't even know what to tell you what happened. I went out, man. I was gone. 45 minutes. It's gone. Why? Spirit of God. Spirit of God. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Who diligently seek him. What happened after that? Strength, solidity, stability, My mind began to be able to see what the Word of God was saying. Another time, Pastor called me up front, side over, laid hands on me. Down I went. Boom. Just in a heap. Catcher did not catch me. I felt my head bounce on the floor. And my first thought was, good job, Dave. You dropped me. We were good friends. But as I lay there, I could feel like electric laser going up and down my arm, up my leg, down around, up my other leg, around my head, down in. And it just kind of made that big circuit all the way around my whole feet. And I'm like, wow, what's going on? He said, I'm burning stuff out of you. You could never get out any other way. Why? Because I had some pretty seriously bad stuff happen to me. Seriously bad. And it wounds your soul. And it wounds you inside your spirit. Dr. Barclay prophesied, there's some things that's been torn out of your heart. The Lord's going to mend the damage and heal your life. I speak it over every one of you right now tonight. Those things that were ripped out of your life, and it was a violation of your life by an enemy, not a human, an enemy. I declare in Jesus' name that they are put back in by the presence and the power of Almighty God. Raise your hands and receive it right now. Just say it. I receive it in my life. Speak this boldly. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore the years the locust have eaten. See, you can't be afraid of the power of God. You're gonna stand in front of Jesus in heaven and have him say, oh, while you were on the earth, you were afraid of my power. And you better open your Bible and read. Jesus said, be filled with the Spirit. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Peter said, be filled with the Spirit. Ain't no one of them that didn't say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is of absolute importance that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I was in a recap a minute ago of where we were throughout this week. But all of a sudden, I've lost my recap and I've gone to preaching. Think about this. The Word of God is living. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That day that I went forward, I was coming boldly to the throne of grace. And I found the answer that I needed. You can come here. Every time you come here saying, God, I thoroughly expect you to take me past every place I've ever been. Get me past my hangups. Get me past my fears. Get me past any wounds that happen. Come here expecting. And when you're here expecting to receive, God will never fail those who have their hands out saying, I need to have this from you. He's the rewarder of those who need him. Those that's like, well, yeah, whatever. Yeah, Jesus, good. You know, it's all right, whatever. You don't get the blessing of God that way. You get it because you're entering in. Stop letting another human. Stop letting a group of humans. The old boys club. The spiritually dead stop you from entering into all God wants for you. Speaking to some folks right now tonight, and what's interesting is I can see your face. I can see their face. One of them's name is Stephen. Interesting. Wait. Nobody knows who you are. Enter in. Come on, brother. Enter in. So much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. Wow. Go with me to Philippians. Go with me to Philippians. I'm just going to take everybody by Ephesians every time we come together. I'm beginning to think Ephesians is the Magna Carta of the New Testament. As soon as you say that, man, people are going to fight you and beat you with the sword of the Spirit, you know. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to get into our verse because this statement is righteousness consciousness is be found in him. Righteousness consciousness be found in him. You ready? Ephesians 3, verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. There's a lot of people that's like, Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God. No, rejoice. Woo! Get crazy. I don't want to be crazy, Professor. I want to be real. You're going to get real nervous in heaven because heaven's going to be loud. Like the sound of many waters. It's going to be real loud. Ephesians 3, 1 through 17. For me to write the same things to you, it's not tedious, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, you know, German shepherds, Rottweilers. No, he's talking about people. Beware of dogs. You know what a dog does? Dog licks your wound. Don't let that person near you. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Standing there with a knife. Quick to circumcise, but as wicked in their heart as anything. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh or, better yet, the removal of flesh. I mean, you got to realize these guys were serious about cutting real, true, honest human flesh. They were serious about it. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Follow what Paul's saying. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Nobody was going to have to circumcise the Apostle Paul. His mama and his daddy got it done on day number 8. Good Israelite. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Yeah. Jacob's most loved son. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Like he had a doctorate degree in Hebrewism. Concerning the law, Pharisee. You might be able to quote all the doctrines of Luther, Calvin, Wesley, Moody, Finney, Adam Clark, Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Lester Sumrall, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin. Wait a minute. You might be able to do all that. But does it produce anything in your life? Because the kingdom of God produces. These signs follow them that believe. I've seen people raised from the dead. I've seen it. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen sicknesses and diseases go away. How? Because you just stand in faith and you do what God's doing. What is it? I don't even know anything about it, Tracy. Interesting statement. Verse 6, concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. He was killing them in the name of God. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That means he can do all 613 613 laws and keep them. Jesus said, they tithe their salt and pepper. I mean, salt's not too hard to divide up in tenths, but pepper? I mean, it seemed like you'd get that divided and you'd be like, oh, man. 3 or 7, what things were gained to me, these I've counted lost for Christ. Watch this. Don't miss these next verses. If this chapter's never come alive to you, check with Jesus and see if this is the next one he wants to come alive. I'm in verse 8. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Saul of Tarsus was 17 years from conversion to preaching the gospel everywhere. What did he have to give up in that time? All of that religiosity. I got a word for you. Give it up. Get over here on the radical side of life.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, you guys speak with tongues. Shundo kapananda vega lamanisha raka shemalamaka. You're right, we do. Get past your brain and your understanding into the realm of the spirit. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I have a story one time of a guy that went to South America and was down there with the mission team. And he's standing there and the guy said, I need God. And the preacher said, you go back there and minister to him. He didn't know how to speak the language. And he and that Spanish-speaking guy, American, carried on a conversation for about an hour. He was speaking English. He was speaking Spanish. And they were both understanding each other. And after he got him to a certain place in God, he said, I said to him, you speak good English, whatever city, nation he was in. And the guy said, you speak good Spanish. And they both looked at each other and said, I don't speak that. And they no longer understood each other. Why? Gift of the Spirit of God. That's power. That's a powerful situation. Verse 8. I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul's not saying by the Spirit of God, don't ever accomplish anything. He's not saying don't have any accomplishments. He's saying don't count them as the goal of your life. Count as the goal of your life to have the righteousness of God and be found in him. I remember the day Dr. Barclay came to us and said, I forget, some big world, famous world organization called him up and said, we would like to give you an award for being one of the most racist-free ministries that function around the world. And he said, do you know who, I think it was the United Nations. He said, do you know who I am? They're like, yeah, you're Mark Barclay, the preacher. You preach in Africa and he named all these other countries. They're like, and you're going to give me what? And they gave him an award for being like the least racist person because he dealt with so many different nations. And he did so often. And it didn't matter if he was male or female. He didn't. Pastor, there ain't a racist bone in the man's body. And just out of the blue, they called him and gave him this award. No, wait. You don't seek it. But when God brings it, you say, man, I sure am glad I was walking in the Spirit all that time. Watch this. Look at this next statement. Verse 9. It's just another one of those key verses in all the New Testament. And be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. What do you call it when you have your own righteousness? Self-righteousness. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law or by what I do or don't do. Your righteousness isn't based on what you do. And it's not based on what you don't do. Your righteousness is based on, I receive righteousness from Jesus, and he makes me righteous. See what Paul's saying? I count all of those things as nothing, that I might walk in the righteousness of God. Well, then what begins to happen when you walk in that righteousness? Now you begin to do mighty things for God. Why? Because it's not about you. It's not about your position. It's not about all the good things you have done. It's about you looking at that next guy standing in front of you saying, no, brother, it's not about everything you've done. It's about, do you have Jesus' righteousness on the inside of you? Righteousness, consciousness, being found in him. Watch this. Let's go real quick. Hold your finger right here in Philippians chapter 3. Just grab you another bookmarker there. And go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we've been studying this verse all week long. It's a good verse. Just really, it's one of them gooder verses. I just love this. And really, I'm just adding this verse to my group of verses I've already been using. But man, this is a good one. So get it out and study this with us. Matter of fact, take a big drink of coffee first. Eight of you with us tonight. Welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being here with us on YouTube. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, we love you. Send us an email, HG for Holy Ghost, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Hebrews 10, 1 and 2. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of those things, excuse me, and never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Now, I didn't study that word perfect, but we will. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. You would no longer need the sacrifice if it was able to actually do the thing, offer the atonement to make you perfect. For the worshipers once purified would have no more consciousness of sin. But see, that's not what is the case in the New Testament. You and I are supposed to no longer have consciousness of sin because of the blood of Jesus. So turn one page back and let's read over here. Hebrews chapter 9, and there's so many good verses here. Let's read 11 through 14. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, which we just learned could not make them perfect, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. If he only did it once, then not in accordance with the Old Testament, they continually had to sacrifice. But in the New Covenant, Jesus shed his blood once, and that blood was able to make you perfect. Say, I'm perfect. You are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, flutter. I want you to see it. See, Hebrews said, all them laws and killings and sacrifices and all that washing and all that stuff, I wasn't able to make you perfect. That was able to atone, cover you, but it wasn't able to purge you. But Jesus' blood, once and for all, purged. Let's read 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know what that means? No more sin consciousness. Say this with me. Get out the door, sin.
Get out the door.
I will not live in sin consciousness. I'm back in Philippians 3:9. And be found in him. When people find you, they should find Jesus. Not the Methodist. Not the Charismaniacs, not the Pentecostals, not the Baptists, not the Lutherans, not the Catholics. When people find you, look what it says, and be found in him. When people find you, they should find Jesus. What do you hand them first, the Bible or your church discipline?
I got some books back here. I'll just reach back here and randomly grab some.
Samuel Rodriguez, Persevere with Power. Great book. Won't be judged by that in heaven. Waiting, Wanting a God You Can Talk To. Jesse Duplantis. Great book. Not going to be judged by that one in heaven. The Kingdom of God in You. Bill Winston. That's a great book. Not going to be judged by that book. The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit, Lester Summerall. That's a great book. You won't be judged by that. And the last one I pulled off the shelf, Dad Jokes. I guarantee you, you won't be judged by that one. Now see,
you maybe.
The only book you're going to be judged by in heaven is this one. I mean, thank God for these guys. These are all good guys. Samuel Rodriguez, good. Brother Jesse, Dr. Winston, Lester Summerall, almighty men of God. And Sister Lange, like, she put them books back in there, right? They're almighty men of God. I'm not going to read something from somebody that doesn't know where they're at. I'm not snugging it. See, look what Paul said. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but having that which is through faith in Christ, keep reading, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And I remember when the man explained this to me. He said, have you ever noticed that no matter how hard you try, you just don't ever get it all right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's because no matter how hard you try, you will never get it right. I'm like, that's not very encouraging. He said, you don't have no righteousness in you, Sam. Your righteousness can't reach God. So I'm just looking at him. He said, it's called the righteousness of faith. God takes Jesus' righteousness and imputes it into you. And now you're functioning from his righteousness, and it's good enough. I'm like, oh my God, I got it. Woo! I jumped right up off the pew, man. I got it. It ain't my righteousness. Because we'll never be good enough. Well, Pastor, you don't know how good I am. Filthy rags. You got to do good and do right and be right, but when you're doing it from your own strength, that's called self-righteousness. And when you're walking with God and doing the things of the Christian life, you realize there's no righteousness in any of that. That's just my daily walking and chasing after God that I do. I read my Bible. I pray. I bring the tithe to the church. I worship the Lord with my tithe, my offering. I reach out and touch my neighbor. I love my brother. I reach out and help other people. I'm always touched, reading, doing somewhere to be a blessing to someone. But it's not. There's no righteousness in it. That's my zeal to take care of those who are around me so that I can honor my Father and Jesus Christ, my Savior, for all of the righteousness he gave me. Just say it. Jesus gave me his righteousness. Look at verse 10. That I might know him. All of the kingdom of God is wrapped up in that phrase right there. That I might know him. Not church. Not religion. Not Bible collegeism, not a degree, that I might know him. Because when you know him in here, you function in his strength from in here, and you change this world out here to match thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Nobody will ever have to again convince you to be reaching out and touching other people. You'll no longer say, well, brother, just sometimes God don't answer prayer. You'll never make that statement ever again. Because you know he always hears your prayer. And you know you always have the petition that you ask. And you know he's going to answer your faith. He rewards those who diligently seek him. See, now all of a sudden, you turn into this mighty warrior of the cross. Not so you can speak in tongues. Not so you can have a gift of the Spirit. Those are just two of your weapons in your tool belt. That's all they are. The most important ones. You're like, man, once you get what praying in tongues is, you'll look back and say, my God in heaven, why didn't I have that the first day I was born again? Exactly. Just like Cornelius, when Peter was preaching, he didn't even get done. And they're all speaking in tongues and prophesying. Peter finally looks around and says, well, sure seems like the Holy Spirit's put out here Have you guys even been baptized? And they hadn't. Well, who does God think he is moving like that by not allowing them to be baptized first? Yeah, God. Look at what it says, verse 10. I'm in Philippians 3:10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What's the power of the resurrection? Jesus died, went to hell, carried all of our sin, all sickness, disease, every wicked thing, carried it to that sin place, hell. Left it there, defeated the devil, and then was raised from the dead because of his righteousness. The last thing he said is, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Why? He had to be sure. He was clear. When he closed his eyes, the veil of the temple would be rent in two, and there would be no longer the need to go before another priest. Jesus then became the high priest. Imagine the priest standing there when the temple curtain was rent down. There's some boys that didn't stop reading until they got all the way to the other side of the city, man. They were running. Ah! What are you going to do? I'm not. You are. See, Jesus said it's finished. Why? Because he was righteous to the very end. And he made that righteousness available for you and me. Look at what it says. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained all of the perfection or am already perfected, but let me ask you a question. Is Paul more perfect today than he was when he first got born again, when he wrote this? Oh, yeah, he's in a Philippian jail. Chained to a wall. But this one thing I do, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. I do not count myself as apprehended, but this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. Was he perfect? He was more perfect than he'd ever been. So when are you made perfect? Why did Jesus say to us, be ye therefore holy, even as your Father which is in heaven is holy, unless you could be holy as Father? Wash your mouth out with soap, preacher. No. Read the Bible. Quit listening to the gobbledygook coming out of religious leaders' mouths. Read your Bible. Jesus said it. Jesus said, be therefore perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow, come on, you know, Pastor. Jesus was just joking. Well, no. No, I can't say Jesus was joking, but, you know, he didn't really mean perfect. He just meant, no, he meant perfect. Was Paul perfect? Yeah. Was Paul more perfect in that jail writing that verse than he was when he left Damascus and went into the wilderness? Yeah, he was. But was he perfect the day that Ananias laid hands on him and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight? Yeah. Why? Because it's his righteousness that makes you perfect, not your actions. I guarantee you my actions are more perfect today than they've ever been, but I was perfect the day I got born again. You know, in the realm of the spirit, I can hear swords clashing. We're starting a holy war here. Wait a minute. Your perfection is not in how good you are. Your perfection is in how good he is. People always say this. Yeah, Pastor, you saying you don't ever make no mistakes? Yeah. I kicked the chair just a minute ago before this program started with my toe. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Well, if you're perfect, you'll never do nothing wrong all days of your life. No, no. You're perfect because Jesus' righteousness is perfect. Listen to this statement. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. You are the temple of the living God. God never allowed his temple to have sin in it. Remember what happened in the OT when those two men went in there and took that false fire? They were killed instantly. He's got to be holy. But he already knows you can't be holy in your own flesh. So he gave you Jesus' righteousness. It's a free gift. Romans chapter 5. How much more? You receive the righteousness. And then you get to walk in it. You mean, Pastor, I don't have to reach this perfect level of absolute perfection in order for God to come and be a part of me? No. You have to reach out and receive Jesus' perfection and realize that that perfection, that righteousness, is going to make you perfect before God any day that you live. Are we better today than we've ever been before? I guarantee you, we are. When I was making that recording this afternoon, I saw verses I know. I knew every verse we read today. I never grabbed that verse and added into my list of verses about being in God. And it's like, whoa, Jesus, I got so many verses today. I'm like, wow, my goodness sakes alive. But it's, I was righteous yesterday. I was holy yesterday. Now, based on how good I am, based on how good Jesus is, it's his righteousness and his holiness is perfect. It's perfect. In the book of Hebrews said, if the sacrifice was then if it was once, then it's able to make you perfect. And you only have to do it one time. And when that's the case, you no longer have a consciousness of sin. It's like, I heard Brother Copeland say the other day, you want to catch some real fire from the enemy? Start teaching the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's the truth. Because people are like signing a cross. I'll take you out for acting like this. No, I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm just perfect in his righteousness. Why? He gave it to me as a gift. I must spend every day of my life saying, thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness. I choose to walk in it today, and I'm going to become more righteous today, and I'm going to do more today, and I'm going to be more like him today, and I'm going to let him say, do that, don't do that, do this, take that, go there, do this. Why? Because that's what his righteousness is all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. You can't. Your righteousness is self-righteousness, and if you could reach somewhere, you would. But Romans said it's not possible because man will boast about their righteousness. And you can't boast because it's a free gift. When it's a free gift, nobody can boast about their righteousness. Well, but Pastor, I read my Bible. There you go. Well, shouldn't I read my Bible? Yeah, read your Bible every day, all day long. You don't boast about it. Or think you deserve something for that action because of his righteousness and his blood and the stripes on his back. If you're delivered, it's because of his blood and his righteousness and his delivering power. You overcome by the blood of a lamb and the word of your testimony. if you overcome, it's because of his blood and righteousness. Pastor, don't I have to open my mouth and say it out loud? Yes, you do. That's the spiritual battle, but it's not because of that battle that you became righteous. It's because of what Jesus did that you became righteous. Now that you're righteous, pick up this Bible. Pick up the word. Use your tongue like a sword and fight that enemy off and destroy it. Remember, I think I've said this already 200 times this year, but I'm not going to stop saying it. Did I say it 20 times a day so far? 10 times a day? I might have said it 10 times a day. Maybe not. Think about this. No matter how hard you try, you will never be righteous enough. That's self-righteousness. Your flesh has no righteousness in it until you receive Jesus. As soon as you receive Jesus, he takes all your sin, throws them in the sea of forgetfulness, and he takes Jesus' righteousness and imputes it into you. You are made into the righteousness of God. Yeah, but Pastor, I've been sinning. I know. Just think. You were sinning that day, and you're going to go from sinning to not in one day. Be like, I know people are like, how does that happen? I don't think anybody knows except the blood. Jesus wipes it away. And then he imputes his righteousness to you. Woo! What a set of messages we've had this week. This is such a good series. Matter of fact, I'm going to listen to it myself tonight. And then I'm going to say, I can't believe you said that. That wasn't John, that was Peter. Wait a minute. God's going to take you and use your zeal to change everybody around you's life. And he's going to give you a nice house. And he's going to give you a nice car. And he's going to bring you a nice life. He's going to bless you everywhere you go and everything you do. And he's going to help you walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember what it said, Psalm 23? Goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. He's going to anoint your head with oil, the Holy Spirit. Your cup is going to run over. Why? Because that's how he likes to do it. He wants to fill your cup and then pour it out right on the table. That's his way. When you read Joel chapter 2 and he called them to a fast, the first thing he said is the barns are going to be filled with plenty and the vats are going to overflow with new wine. Why? Because you turn back to God. Abundant blessing is going to come upon your life. He ain't trying to make you a millionaire to make you a millionaire. He wants you blessed so you can go be a blessing. He wants you blessed so you can go be a blessing and help other people around you to find our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and know who he is and what he's going to do for you in Jesus' mighty name. It's a good word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good word. Now, let's close this, and then I'll do the communion, because I'm actually finished. Isn't that something?
There's a lot in that.
I mean, I'm actually not finished. No, I am finished. Verse, look at, matter of fact, we'll close with 16. 15 and 16. Therefore, Philippians 3, 15 and 16. Therefore, let as many as you as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. He's always going to be taking you to a new level with him. And where he said the children of Israel, I'm not going to drive them all out overnight. Can't leave you blank and empty. 16. Nevertheless, be attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And then just walk with God. Just walk with him. Every single day. Be found in him. Not having your own righteousness, but the righteousness which is by faith. You believe God, and you are made into his righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, as a man of God, as a pastor, teacher, fivefold ministry leader for you, I declare over everybody that's here today, they will see and they will know and they will understand your righteousness, your ways, your plan, mighty name of Jesus. They will see and they will know and they will understand your ways and your righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. For those of you that's lived a rough, hard life, he's wiped it all away. It's already gone. Just give him glory. Thank you, Lord, that I'm as white as snow and I'm living in the righteousness of God. Just thank you. Receive it. Let that righteousness fill you, baptize you in the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Say this with me. This one thing I do. I press. Jesus' mighty name. That I might know him. I've been saying it for a long time now. I'm getting communion ready now. I've been saying it for a long time now. You might not understand religion. You might not understand denominationalism. You may never get a good grip on it. You may have been born into it. You may have been steeped into it. You may have been pickled by it, marinated in it. You might, in your own human abilities, you might never get past it. But see, none of that matters, because in him, you have his righteousness. And if you let go of all that stuff and say, restore to me the years the locusts have eaten, God gets busy immediately and restores all those years. Now it's not about how good you are. It's about how good Jesus is. And how good is Jesus? He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. And all 780 different things about Jesus that he is. Watch this. And he lives in you. And now I'm done. You should have seen the look on Sister Leanne's face. She's like, right. You've said that before. Here we go. Share the screen. No, actually, it's a good word. It's a good word. Not good because I preached it. It's good because we're following the Holy Spirit. And it's the next step for you and I to take in the things of God. Let's receive communion together. we receive communion almost every time we come here. There's probably been 8 or 10 times in the last 4 years that we haven't, but wow, that's amazing. Goodness sakes alive, coming up on 4 years. So here's how we do it here. We're going to read the verses, we'll pray the prayer of salvation, and then we'll receive the elements. Every person who receives communion, if you're a member of the body of Christ, then you can receive communion with us. There's no place in the Bible that says you got to be a member of a church to receive communion. It's not there. No matter how bad they stretch it or take it out of context, it's not there. We're going to read just a minute. 28. Verse 28 is exactly the process. And we're going to lead you into it. So no matter who you are, get you some bread and grape juice, cracker and some water, whatever you got. And let's receive communion together in Jesus' name. Everybody read these verses at your house with us. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, till he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, pause. There's the answer. Let a man be examined. Look what it says. Be examined by the deacon, elder, and pastoral boards. That's not what it says. Let a man examine himself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. Now, you can find all of this. You can take this video and go back and start it all over again. You know, come to this point in the video and you'll be able to see these slides up on the screen. Just slide that little red thing dot across there in YouTube. And you can go back and study all of these words. Pause the video and read the words. They're the truth. Here's the prayer of salvation. These are not words to read. This is a prayer to pray. I mean this from the depths of your heart. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day just for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're here. Glad you prayed this prayer with us. Give this to your friends. Say, man, listen to this crazy guy. I'm not crazy, but some people think you are because you're bold. But we learned the other night, and if you're walking into righteousness, it makes you bold. Mm-hmm. This is the salvation instructions. Your darkness just turned to light. Why? Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live in you. He's now in you by the Spirit. Fear turned to faith because sin creates death, which creates fear, but that's all wiped away in Jesus in you. The author and finisher of the faith lives in you right now. How cool is that? You have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It just happened right there in front of God and everybody. And you have become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And there's some verses. Screenshot that. Study it. Read them. Listen, I encourage you, don't just read in your mind, read it out loud. You might say, well, Pastor, I can't do that anymore. Go into the bathroom, close the door, and then start reading. Never leave you alone. Read it right out loud. Because when you see it with your eyes, speak it with your mouth, hear it with your ear, it gets down inside of you, and it changes your life. Here's our email address and website, samueljcottle.com, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on everything that we do. Every time we go live, you can be here with us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Here we go. Get your communion elements. Let's hold them up and pray. Man, we're doing really good tonight.
Holy Spirit. So moving.
He's moving tonight, isn't he? Making the preacher preach short. Right? Isn't that the Holy Spirit moving?
Yep. Got a lot done in a short period of time.
Here we go. Hold your elements up together. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised
for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, my emotions,
there is
nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. every joint supply in my body from your broken body, Jesus, and the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. For your body that was broken for us today, in Jesus' mighty name. And now, lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now let's sing a song about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, well, glory be to God. It's a good night, Sister Phyllis. You got some verses. I want to read the Jude verses again. I want to read the Jude verses again. Actually, I just want to keep sitting here reading more and more verses, but I'm going to go. All right. I don't know. Already. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God. Uh-oh, I missed one. Did I mess it up? Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God. I was doing all right. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Interesting verse to put right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, present you faultless for the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen, amen and amen. Amen and amen. I declare over your lives tonight that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it is with you tonight and every night in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We'll see you again real soon tomorrow morning right here. Sister Land will be here. Prayer program. We're going to be tearing down the walls, the darkness with the light of God's love in Jesus' mighty name. Sure do love you. If you have any questions, send them. Like seriously, send them. Tell us your story. Send us an email. We got lots of videos to send you because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Till we see again what we say. Remember this? We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Have a good night, everybody.